If God is the sower of this good seed, which is the word of God, what kind of soil was I? I mean, had the birds come into my life and picked my path clean of good seed? Or was I rocky and thorny soil, either too shallow or too consumed with the ways of the world to give God's word a real chance in my life?
That's Bishop Robert Wright, and today he shares a challenging sermon of faith called The Sower, the Soil, and the Supplement. I'm Peter Wallace. It's day one.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're pleased to have with us the Right Reverend Robert C. Wright, 10th Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Atlanta. Before his ordination as bishop in late 2012, Rob served for 10 years as rector of St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Earlier, he served as canon pastor and vicar at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City. Rob was educated at Howard University, Virginia Theological Seminary, and Ridley Hall in Cambridge, England. Rob, welcome to Day One.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's been 4 years since you were last with us, and we're glad you're back. First, remind us about your role as Bishop of the Diocese of Atlanta. What's keeping you busy and why?
Oh, my. Well, we're a diocese of 117 worshiping communities, over 75 and a half counties in Middle and North Georgia. Men, women, children, teenagers, and feisty seniors. And we're post-pandemic. And so our big piece of work is just inviting people home to worship, inviting people home to belonging and becoming. And so I'm heartened to see so many people coming back and also not only coming back into sort of old ways that we used to do things, familiar ways that we used to do things, but also the innovation that's coming out of us is that we're reaching out in new ways, new musical expressions, new ways to connect and serve. And so that's what's keeping me busy.
One of those innovations was Imagine Church.
Yeah.
How did that start? What's the purpose?
Yeah, and so what we really were challenging ourselves with is to realize that in many expressions of the Protestant, mainstream denominations, they're declining numerically, and we're getting older, many of us. And so if we love our church so much and we love the way in which it invites us into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, how can we give that to other people, to younger people in particular, not to give it short shrift or pander, but how can we distill what we think are the absolute best elements of it and offer it? And so, you know, the name is a double entendre. We want to imagine church anew, and we want to invite people to think about it. And so me as the bishop, I said, you know, let me be the first fool and let me try and risk a fabulous sort of failure, but invite people to say, hey, you know, what can we do? What do we love? And so we love the scripture and we love music. And what's wonderful and what we're really learning is this is very contextual. Yeah. And so in one expression, we'll use gospel music really as the centerpiece. And in others, we're working in Macon, Georgia, are going to be bluegrass music. And we've got one set up to do jazz and another one for Hispanic, wonderful, lively Hispanic music. And so really, we just want to say that the best part about being an Anglican and Episcopalian is that we can be faithful and open to the times.
And communications is an important part of your ministry, and you've been able to do some innovative and effective things, including your podcast called For Faith. Tell us about that and why it's an important aspect of your ministry.
the podcast came out of COVID. Uh-huh. And when we were, when everybody was backing away and when we were sort of closing up our in-person worship, we said, we have to reach out. We have to find a way to reach out. And so with a really nominal investment of about $1,500 for some equipment, my studio is seven steps from my side of the bed, I like to say, in my home office. And wonderful tools we found online to begin to record a podcast, you know, to talk to people at the intersection of faith and leadership. And so far now we're over 150 episodes in. We've had the governor of Georgia. Mm-hmm. We've had Senator Raphael Warnock. We've had Barbara Brown Taylor, our presiding bishop, and all those wonderful luminaries. But we've also had men and women who are living out their faith in astounding ways. And we hope that that is leaven for people. Mm. You know, we have seen it grow, you know, far beyond our wildest expectations. And at last count, we were in any number of countries. We were in every state of the country. And we get regular feedback from people where just a small conversation, 20 or so minutes about faith and what it means to live out our faith now, have been absolutely instrumental to people at critical intersections of their life. And so we feel real blessed, and we're just trying to figure out a way to continue to communicate about this good God that we love. Mm.
And if you'd like to listen to Bishop Wright's weekly podcast for faith, it's available on all podcast apps. Bishop, the Diocese of Atlanta has a thriving relationship with a companion diocese, Cape Coast in Ghana. What are some of the fruits of that relationship?
Well, I think, again, I believe that fidelity demands experimentation. And we're here in Georgia in the South. And when I started in 2012, we were having conversations about race and reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, one of the things we always need is a good field trip. And so what we realized is that we had to go back across the Middle Passage. And that's the, you know, so many people who are now African Americans left the coast of West Africa through the slave dungeons and the door of no return in some of those slave dungeons in Cape Coast, Ghana. And so we took a group of pilgrims back across the Middle Passage, really reversing it to meet our brothers and sisters there, to go to those places where we knew agony and pain and betrayal and where we departed from, to go back and then to have a conversation about that, to learn more about that. What we learned was is that we can have conversations about race and reconciliation without condemnation, shame, and guilt. That was absolutely a happy discovery. We didn't need shame or guilt or obligation to have these conversations, that they could be life-giving. We could acknowledge what we had done to each other and also talk about what we can do with each other now. And so we've had a wonderful partnership with the diocese there, clergy and lay people there in the Diocese of Cape Coast, and with a wonderful bishop there, Bishop Victor Atebofo, who was formerly the dean of the seminary in Cape Coast, and now is just a wonderful full-on partner. We look forward to welcoming him and a contingent of people from the Diocese of Cape Coast here to Atlanta in this November. But we're four pilgrimages into this relationship, and it continues to grow. They give us their joy. They teach us, actually, and I think this is critical, they teach us how to be church without all of the money that we think we need to do church in America. And so the two-thirds world we are learning has a lot to teach America right now about how to be church without all of the capital investment that now we're really struggling to maintain.
Well, your sermon today focuses on the gospel lesson for this Sunday from Matthew chapter 13, Jesus' parable of the soils. Would you read it for us?
Sure. Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, The evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case, 100-fold, another 60, and in another, 30.
Bishop, this is one of the relatively few parables Jesus purportedly explains to his disciples. So what struck you about this text as you prepared your sermon?
Oh, it was like an old friend, going to visit an old friend. Again, as I say in the sermon, I love this story, and I've had a life with this story, an evolving life with this story. I love this story because, you know, we get Jesus' spiritual imagination. We get him using everyday things to make meaning. Mm. He makes meaning with us. He does do the explanation. I think he understands that we struggle to get it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I like that he makes meaning in community. There's a partnership there in learning. And as I say in the sermon, I think we've got to do more of that. We work a lot sometimes on personal piety, but what we need is a communal piety, which is we need to share our bits of understanding one with the other. I think that's how we make the journey.
Well, we look forward to hearing your sermon on this entitled The Sower, the Soil, and the Supplement. Rob, thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Peter.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program with Bishop Rob Wright with an extended interview, you can subscribe on your favorite podcast app to Day One Weekly Program. That's DAY numeral 1 Weekly Program, or listen on our website at dayone.org. And if you'd like a free printed sermon transcript, just call us at 404-815-9110.
Decades ago, before I started attending church, but when I had decided to read the Bible from cover to cover, I first read today's story. It's called The Parable of the Sower. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It gives us one of my favorite images of God, a sower, a cosmic farm worker, a seed thrower, Jesus said. He went out to throw seed. Judging by the sower's actions, the sower is experienced, resolute, and hopeful when it comes to throwing seed. We know that because the story says only about 25% of precious seed finds good soil, grows, and multiplies. The sower seems more concerned with fidelity than results, with possibility more than efficiency. The sower is working toward expansion by overwhelming limitation with generosity and constancy. The sower is bearing witness against scarcity by getting seed into every nook and cranny despite the most pernicious complications. The good news of Jesus' story is that it's a story about a good God throwing good seed, looking for good soil to multiply good in the world. What a marvelous way to think of God, and a marvelous way to approach our own good doing in the world. What a wonderful God we have, genius in love and mercy, steadfast in the work of nurturing growth. After all these years of thinking about this story, this is where my mind goes now, to a good sower. But when this story first got a hold of me, I had a question and a fear. My question was, if God is the sower of this good seed, which is the Word of God, what kind of soil was I? I'm probably not the only person who has wondered that. I mean, had the birds come into my life and picked my path clean of good seed? Or was I rocky and thorny soil, either too shallow or too consumed with the ways of the world to give God's Word a real chance in my life. Like most folks, I wanted to be good soil. I wanted to give Jesus' teachings and example a good home in my life and in my heart. But could I? My fear was that maybe being good soil was a factory setting. You know, some are born creative, some funny, some love math, and some are good soil. I was really stuck thinking that either we are this kind of soil or that kind of soil, and that is just who we are. End of story. What a grim way to think about loving God. I had somehow slipped into using Jesus' wonderful story to categorize and limit God, myself, and others. In an ironic way, my limiting thoughts about God's ingenuity were like the birds of the story who fly away with the good seed before it sprouts. So thank God for a mentor friend who came to me like good seed thrown into my life. I shared my thoughts about this story, and in short order, he listened and affirmed my love of God's Word and my desire for understanding. But what he said next to me opened my mind and rooted me. He said it was his sense of the story that it doesn't confine or condemn us to being one kind of soil in perpetuity. He said Jesus' story is best understood as an invitation to consider and confess that we have all been each kind of soil at some point in our lives. In other words, we're all saints and we're all sinners. We're all made for good, but we shun good, the good we are and the good we can do, sometimes because of fear of one stripe or the other. To paraphrase my friend, fertility in our lives and in the world happens when we find the courage to square our shoulders and ask and answer the questions that Jesus' story prompt. When was your life indifferent or hostile to God and God's Word? What are the names of the anxieties that seduce you away from the love of God? But not only that, when was your last good soil season? What is green and growing in your life? What blesses the soul here is no matter what soil season you're in right now, the sower just keeps on sowing, resolute, generous, hopeful, undaunted. I'll never forget the feeling I had at the end of that conversation. You could say he moved me from thorny soil toward being good soil, at least toward being available soil. Thank God for a friend with a seed to share. Bundled together with this parable is the practical reality that we need to read the Bible in community. Even when Jesus tells this story, he pauses and then offers an explanation. He makes meaning and understanding with his friends in partnership. We also have to talk faith with one another. We need others, especially to help us when we reach confusing intersections in Jesus' teaching. The Holy Spirit works her best magic in community. What is needed today is more Bible studies and local congregations and perhaps less sermonizing. A funny thing for a preacher to say while preaching a sermon. So then maybe a combination of both on Sunday morning would be an important experiment to run for the average church this year. Now, I confess here publicly that I don't actually know much about botany or soil. Not only that, you may be thinking, listening to me, that, hey, wait a minute, this guy lives in Georgia. What does he actually know about good soil anyway? Georgia is not like the Carolinas with their rich, black, fertile soil. Down here in Georgia, we have red clay, unreliable rainfall, and temperatures so intense that they call the city of Atlanta, Hotlanta. And while all of that is true, here's what I have learned. Our red clay is famously difficult to grow things. Clay causes water and drainage problems, and clay has nutrient deficiencies. And yet we have learned to grow all kinds of things here in Georgia. Peaches and pecans, pine trees, blueberries, cotton, and spring onions. What we have learned here is that if you have a soil problem, you need a soil supplement if things are going to grow. And if you want things to grow unusually good, like Jesus said was possible, 30 times and 60 times over normal output, then you're going to have to employ an exceptionally knowledgeable gardener and an unusually good supplement. What I love about Jesus is that he is God come among us, the cosmic come to the local. His stories start here in the fingernail-dirty places of life and living. The stories start here but move us by his spiritual imagination to a place of hope and of promise. That is the supplement that saves the soil and the sin-sick soul at the same time. Clay may not be much compared to some other kinds of soil, but over in the book of Jeremiah, God says, "I am the potter and you are the clay. If you put yourselves in my hands, I can fashion you into something that is pleasing to me and something that is productive for the world." And don't you just love that whenever Jesus points us in a direction generally and collectively, somehow we are assured individually that he is able to work with our specific soil conditions. And so if the path of your heart today is hard because life has walked on you and over you, your soil supplement is to pray for those who anger you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. That is your path to be good soil. And if the soil of your life is thin, like the soil that lives between the rocks and can't sustain deep and abundant life, if that describes the season you're in, then the word from the Master Gardener to you today is to practice radical generosity for a season. Give like you've never given before. Find the neediest people you can find and give. Find the most desperate brothers and sisters you can find and give your time, talent, and bright mind to their uplift. This is how the Spirit creates new depth in us so things can grow, so lives can grow. Don't give out of the thin soil of obligation or guilt. Give because you realize at a new depth that everything you have is gift. Give from that place. God just loves a cheerful giver, the Bible says. That's how the rocks in our life get moved, by decentering ourselves and centering Jesus' example of serving. And if the soil of your life won't sustain great botanical heights because of the thorns that choke abundant life, then your soil supplement is gratitude. There is nothing like gratitude to drain away the fear that chokes out faith and joy. Start each morning by giving thanks for all the blessings of life, even though life has its persistent problems. Each time you pray, start by giving thanks. Let the thanksgiving portion of your prayers be longer than the portion where you are making requests. Do that for a season. Do that this summer. Do it with a prayer partner. Walk out in nature, lift up your head, and give thanks. It's amazing how this simple practice shifts our outlook and overwhelms our fears. There is an old adage that says, when your gratitude is great, your fears will fail to have power. So we give thanks today because the thorns of life don't diminish the goodness of God. They put a crown of thorns on Jesus to crown him as a criminal, but God used those thorns to crown him as the Lord of life. And so we give thanks because God can make the dry and withered thorns of today the fertilizer of our faith tomorrow. Zora Neale Hurston said, "Trees and plants always look like the people they live with somehow." And so the soil supplement that will grow us all up into the full stature of Christ is for us today to decide again to make Jesus the chief gardener and caretaker of our souls. It is him who knows best how to transform our souls into fertile soil. Amen.
You've been listening to the Right Reverend Robert C. Wright, Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Atlanta, Georgia. For a free transcript of his inspiring message titled The Sower, the Soil, and the Supplement, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. And to listen again to today's program, read the sermon transcript, search the sermon archives, and much more. Visit us online at dayone.org. Keep in mind that Day One depends on the generous donations of our faithful listeners. Please send your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Or donate online at dayone.org. And thank you. I'm Peter Wallace. Next time on Day One, we're delighted to have with us the Reverend Scott Hovey, Senior Pastor of Northside Drive Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. I hope you'll join us for Scott's inspiring message, Tarry in the Garden, coming next week on Day One. Now, our Day One preacher, Rob Wright, offers some final reflections on his sermon today, The Sower, the Soil, and the Supplement. And Rob, thank you for unpacking this parable of the soils for us. You said it seems that the sower is more concerned with fidelity than results, with possibility more than efficiency. Yeah. The sower is working toward expansion by overwhelming limitation with generosity and constancy, you said. That seems so counterintuitive for this just-in-time, efficiency-oriented, cost-cutting world of ours. Yeah. What does this tell us about our world's ways of doing things as opposed to God's ways?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, let us celebrate the way in which God does the business of being God and overwhelms all of our limitations and our fears with constancy and generosity. I mean, we have to celebrate that. That's God's genius at work in us. And it's not that it has nothing to do with deserving anything. It's the way in which God goes about the business of being God in the world. And so what God, it seems to me through the story, is just trying to overwhelm limitation. Mm-hmm. And in our response, we're supposed to, you know, to bloom in that response. And what I loved was my friend shared that way to think about this story. And I had to acknowledge I had been all those soils. And I think all of us have to acknowledge we have been all those soils. But the question is, what kind of soil are we today? Mm-hmm. And that's the invitation, I think, for all of us to go deep, be deep, and to bloom.
Mm-hmm. Well, say more a little bit about that question. What kind of soil am I? It's a great question to ponder, but how should we as believers work through that and its implications?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, one of the great fruits of life with God is finding the courage to be able to be honest about where you really are right now and to know that I can look at the mirror and not feel condemned or shamed. That God looks at me and you and all of us as a loving parent looks at a child. And so we have the courage to look into our life and to acknowledge and say those things that happen to be truthful about us today, knowing that that is not a dead end, knowing that wherever we find ourselves, whatever conclusion we can come up with about ourselves today, that God has an invitation tailor-made for us.
Yeah.
And so, yes, if I've been rocky or if I've been thorny, God can use that. I mean, this is why I talk about the ingenuity of God in this story. We see that the sower just continues to sow. I mean, and you would think in our efficiency model, you know, at some point we would do a cost-benefit analysis and we would stop sowing. We would. That's our limitation. And we work out of a scarcity model. But God works out of an abundance model. And abundance is poured into, you know, people who have profound limitations so that God can bring some wonderful things out of us. And so the story here, I think we should keep close to our hearts and realize, you know, the ways in which God has sown into our lives through people, through music, through nature, through kindnesses extended to us, through second chances, third, fourth chances. This is God sowing into us. And we can let that take root, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So talk about how when we are in community with all our different soils in different times, what are the implications of that in regards to our impact on society?
Yeah. Well, I think what the world needs is more of us really endeavoring to be good soil wherever we are. I mean, look, You know, we're terribly divided politically. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that what we've got to realize is that good soil is about finding common ground. Mm-hmm. And good soil is about being of good faith and good cheer. Good soil is not about division. Good soil is about working towards solutions. Mm-hmm. Lord knows we need more of that in our political realms and in our church realms. And I think that's one of the great fruits that blooms out of an abiding relationship with God is deciding that we are siblings. Mm. At the end of the day, deciding that you and I are citizens of heaven, and that right now this life we're living is a dress rehearsal for that. So there's no Republican or Democratic heaven, and so therefore let's get to work together.
Yeah.
And let's take a look at gun legislation, and let's take a look at poverty, and let's take a look at our borders. I think we can affirm the dignity of every human being and secure our borders at the same time. Why does it have to be either or? Mm. I think we're deeper and better than that. I think we can do the good work of that. And so I think that this story does say something to us. If in the good soil, there is multiplication of good. Mm-hmm. I think that says a lot to what we can do in society, you know, from our homes to where we work to our greater culture.
Rob, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will carry with them in the days ahead?
Yeah, right now in my life, I really want to talk about this spirituality of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And so if you hear nothing today, you know, really drill down on the good nature of our good God, who is absolutely hopeful and resolute, a trustworthy God who is sowing good after good after good, the giver of every good gift. Because I feel like, you know, in response to that, that's what changes behavior. Mm-hmm. That's what opens hearts and opens minds, is when you realize that you've really been blessed mm-hmm. deeply. And so I want people to just realize that the spirituality of Jesus and many of the men and women who we call the saints has been a deep and abiding sense of gratitude. Mm.
Bishop Rob Wright, thank you for being with us.
Peter, thank you. Thank you. And thank you to the whole Day One family.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.